1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll start reading in verse number 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of thee, need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." The title of the message is, "The Body is Many Parts." The body is many parts. Let's pray, and then we'll jump in and ask God to bless the message. Heavenly Father, please, Lord God, use me as I preach this message. Please, God, help me to take what you've shown me and the truth and the just this thought. Help me to convey it to your people in the way that you showed it to me, that it can be a help to us, that can be an encouragement to us, that can be a blessing to us. God, I just want to be used of you. I want to be a vessel that you can use. Please empty me of myself, God. Don't let me get in the way. Don't let me hinder you from working. Don't let me do a dishonor to your word and to the preaching of the word of God. Please just take control. Take over my body and use me. Help me to say the right things for your people. God, I just want you to be honored and glorified. I want you to be lifted up this morning. Lord, I want you to be glorified. I pray if there's anyone here this morning that's not saved, they haven't accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, please let today be that day. Help them to recognize their need of salvation, that need to become a body of Christ. God, maybe there's some here that are in church and they've just kind of been cruising along. Maybe they've gotten into a rut. Maybe they've backslidden and gotten away from you. God, I pray this morning would be a message that would encourage them to get back involved. Maybe there's some here this morning that they're just new Christians and they're just hungry. They just want to grow. They want to learn. And Lord, I pray to help them to learn something, teach them something. Lord, there's probably some out here that are just hurting. And Lord, they just need to be comforted. They need to be encouraged. They need to be loved on. And God, I pray this message would encourage and love on them. Lord, you know the needs. You know the situations. You know each heart. You know each individual. And you're a God of the individuals, not a God of the crowds. God, you individually know each and every one of us. And God, you know the needs. And God, you gave me this message. You've led me to preach this message. So I have to believe there's something in this message for each and every one of us here this morning. So please God, open our hearts, open our minds. Show us what we need to get from the message. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The body is many parts. The body of Christ is like our physical body. And just like our physical body is not just one thing. It's not just all an eye or an arm or a hand. We're many different members. We're different parts. Some are more attractive than other parts. I don't know about you, but most of us don't have a real attractive feet, especially if you're a guy. You know, nobody's real crazy about your feet necessarily. They kind of stink sometimes and they're not real attractive. But guess what? That foot is very important. Without that foot, you wouldn't be able to get up. You wouldn't be able to walk. Your toes aren't real exciting, but without your toes, you wouldn't be able to balance yourself. And fingers aren't necessarily an amazing thing. We don't go, "Wow, man, you have incredible fingers." Now, I never heard anybody say that about somebody's fingers, but you need your fingers to be able to grab and to get a hold of things and to be able to carry things. And your arms are important. Without them, you can't work. Without them, you can't maybe hug someone or embrace someone. But every part of our body is needed. Every part of our body is important. Every part of our body plays an important role of us living this life and being able to serve God, be able to function this life. And I'm not saying without these things you can't function. There's people that have no arms that have trained themselves to use their legs and their feet in a way that maybe we would use our hands and arms. I'm not saying that we couldn't make do, but God has designed our body, our physical body, a certain way so that we can accomplish things for Him. And every part of our body is important. Every part of our body has a vital part of our life. And same thing with the body of Christ. There's some parts, some of us play certain roles in the body of Christ that others may look at us and not think anything about it, might not think you're anything special, might not think you're worthy of giving honor, as the Bible says, that some are maybe not given the honor or given the glory like other parts, but it is needed, it is important, it is vital to have in the body of Christ. Just like my foot is not necessarily all that spectacular and nobody would be amazed by it. If I took off my shoe, you all would be telling me to put my shoe back on probably, you'd be disgusted by it. But without that foot, I wouldn't be able to do some of the things I'm able to do. I wouldn't be able to work the job that I work. I got to be able to get up and move and walk around and go out to the cars and Enterprise and walk around them and check them for damage and get in and check the gas level and everything like that. Without my feet, I wouldn't be able to go out and do that. But God has designed certain parts of our body for certain jobs. And the same thing with the body of Christ. You may say, Brother Brady, I feel like I'm really not that vital of a role. But you are. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how significant man may say that job is. It's important. It's vital. It's needed. Someone has got to clean the church. And we may say, man, nobody ever really knows that I do it. And nobody even says thank you or good job. If something goes wrong, they might come up to me. But nobody says it's a great job. It's really not, you know, that exciting. It's not all that glorious necessarily to be the person that cleans the church or vacuums the floor or cleans the toilet. You know, it's not something that everybody just is rushing to do that job, you know. But it's important. It's vital. It's spectacular. I walk in here and the auditorium looks clean. Somebody did that. I used the restroom earlier and the restroom was clean. Somebody did that. I walk in the foyer and the foyer looks clean. Somebody's done that. And we might not stop and go, wow, this is gorgeous every time. But man, it is important. It is vital. It's a special part of taking care of God's house and being a part of that. And every member of the body is important. No matter what your station, no matter what you do, it's important. And just as crazy as it would be for the eye to say, man, I have no need of you hand. I don't need you. And the eye doesn't necessarily need the hand maybe. But as a body, as a whole, we need the hand. But not the whole body. Just like it'd be crazy for the whole body to be an eye, you wouldn't be able to accomplish the things it needs to accomplish. Not everybody in the body of Christ can be the pastor of the church. Not everybody in the body of Christ can be the song leader. Or even a Sunday school teacher maybe. But you can do something. You can fill in somehow. You can do something for the body of Christ. You can be the church cleaner. You can maybe work on the bus. You can maybe fix the bus. Maybe you're an electrician. You can help when there's electrical problems. A plumber, and you can help with the plumbing issues. Whatever it is that God has designed you for, don't ever look at yourself as, well, I'm just not as important or vital as somebody else. No, you are. You're just as vital. You're just as important. The body of Christ can't function the way it needs to without you. God has designed you for a reason, for a purpose. He's got a plan for you. And don't ever once think, well, I'm just not as important as the pastor. No, you are just as important. We may not think that sometimes. In human eyes, we may say, well, you know, without the pastor, it can't really go forward. But, you know, we could do without, you know, somebody to clean the church. I mean, you know, find anybody to do that. Yes and no, maybe. But you are vital. You are important. It doesn't matter what your situation, where you are in the body of Christ. You are important. God has put you there for a reason. The body of Christ. Some don't get to do the things and stand out that much or don't get the glory, but it is needed nonetheless. It doesn't matter what the situation, it is needed. God has got a plan for you. So let's jump into this here. This morning got several points, just hopefully just practical, helpful points for us this morning. Number one, and that is that we cannot change what part of the body we are. We can't change the part of the body of Christ that we are. You look at verses 15 through 17. It says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were a hearing, where were the smelling? We can't change what part of the body we are. God has purposely designed you to be a certain part of the body. And your job is to figure out what that part is and to do it with all your might. Bible tells us to do all that you do for God. Do it with all your might. Give it your all. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's to get up and sing a special, man, do your best when you get up and sing your special. You give it your all and you let God have the glory from it. If you mess up while you're singing, hey, who cares? You just let God have the glory from it. You let God be in charge of that. Man, if God has designed you to be a bus driver, man, you be the best bus driver you can be, a bus worker. You be the best bus worker you can be. If it's to work with the kids or with the teenagers or be the soundman, you be the best that you can be. And you let God take care of it. God has designed you for a certain reason. Just like I was saying, me and Emily make a great team. Man, she is scared to death to get up and speak. She's terrified to do that. She's done it a couple times. She's given her testimony a couple times. And I remember the first time we was going to a church, they wanted us both to give a testimony. Mom was like, do I have to give one? I don't want to give one. I said, yes, honey, you have to give one. You got to give one. They want you to hear your testimony, all right? She's scared to do that. But God has not designed her necessarily to be the speaker. God has designed her to be the singer. God has designed to use her in that way. I don't have as good of a voice as she does. She says I sing good. I don't know if she's just being nice and sweet or if I really do sing good. I think maybe sometimes I do accidentally hit the right note, but she says I do sometimes. But I'm not designed. God didn't design me to be a singer or to be in the special music necessarily, but he's given me the ability to get up and preach. I'm not saying I'm a great preacher. I'm not saying I'm the best preacher in the world. I know a lot of preachers that preach a lot better than I do. And a lot of times I hear guys preach, and I think, man, my sermons are just not that good. But God has given me that ability. He's given me that purpose. And that's what God has designed me for. But that does not in any way make me more important than anybody else that's out here listening to me right now. Without you, I wouldn't get to do what I get to do. Without you, I wouldn't even have a purpose. We've got to have you. But I can't ever look at my life and say, well, you know, I'd rather be this part of the body. That's not my job. That's not for me to decide. God decides what part of the body we're supposed to be. Because God knows, God designed us, God created us specifically for a certain body, for a certain part of the body. And he says, I've designed you for that because I need you to fill that role. I need you to be that part of the body of Christ because we need you in that area. You're important in that area. We can't change the part of the body that we are. We don't get to make that decision. We don't get to make that choice. God has already made that choice. Our job is to say, all right, God, if you want me to be a cleaner at the church, that is what I'm going to do. I keep coming back to that because it seems like that's one of those roles that most people think, well, it's not all that spectacular, you know. But it is. It's important. If that's what God's got you to do, then do it. Do it the best you can. Give it all your heart, man. Vacuum the floors, sweep the floors, clean the toilet, whatever it is. I don't know if you do it in different sections or if you just do it by a week, you do the whole building or what it is, but whatever it is that you do, whatever capacity that God's got you serving, do your best. Give it your all because you are important. I love the song, Little as Much When God Is In It. Labor not for wealth or fame. It doesn't matter how little in man's eyes your job is. In God's eyes, if you're doing it for God, it is big. It is important. It's something that He wants done. So point number one, we can't change the part of the body that we are. So we just need to accept we are, be excited about it, and say, all right, God, if this is what you designed me for, then that is what I'm going to do and I'm going to give my all to it. Thought number two, and that is God has placed us in what part of the body He sees fit. And I kind of jumped ahead of myself. I have a tendency to do that, get excited here. But God has seen what place we would best fit and what place He thinks would be best for us. And He's ready to plug us in if we're willing to be plugged in. If we're willing to get in and do it, God is ready to plug us in. You may say, well, Brother Bray, I don't even know what it is that God wants me to do. Well, then you need to ask Him. God, what would you have me to do? What did you design me for? What is my purpose? When it comes to just furthering the gospel of Christ, what can I do? What have you designed me for? What part of the body am I supposed to be a part of? God's already designed it. God's already got a plan for that. Look at verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. So when you complain about the area that you're serving God in, that God has led you to, you're complaining about what God has put you in to do because God is the one that's designed you. God's the one that puts you there. If you've prayed about it, you said, God, what do you want me to do? And God has shown you and God's opened a door and He's given you an opportunity to serve. Don't ever complain about that because God's the one that's placed you there. God's the one that wants you to be there. And then just be excited about it. I remember as a teenage boy, there was an opening on our cleaning schedule and my youth pastor really encouraged me to do it. I was like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do that or not, but all right, you know. Listen, my youth pastor, I'll go jump in and do it. And so I did. So I cleaned the auditorium and vacuumed and dusted stuff and did the foyer and the basement. Our building wasn't huge, so one person could really do it all just in a few hours. And so I did it. And as I did it, I learned to take some pride in it. There was a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of excitement. We had that type of carpet on the platform. You could really tell if somebody had vacuumed. You know, if it didn't vacuum, it all just kind of looked the same. But if you vacuumed, it left those like lines or creases or whatever you want to call it. You could tell it had been vacuumed. And so the weeks that I didn't clean, I could tell, somebody didn't vacuum the platform. I know they didn't because you can't see the lines up there. Nobody vacuumed it. I can see it. You know, and I would just take pride in it. When I would vacuum, I was, you know, and I would clean, I was just so excited to see, man, it looks clean. It looks nice. I was a teenager. God, I don't know how great of a job I really did, but it looks nice to me. You know, I was excited about it. I took pride in it. It was an opportunity to serve God. And, you know, hardly anybody else knew that I did that. No, a number of people knew that I came in on a Saturday once a month and did some cleaning. A number of people knew that, and that was fine. I didn't care. But I was excited about it. And I got excited about it. And I learned to be more and more excited about it. Whatever it is that you do, be excited about it. Because you're doing it for God. You're not doing it for man. You're not doing it for anybody else. You're doing it for God. Be excited about it. God has chosen. God has designed us to fit in a certain area. And whatever areas that He sees fit for us, that's where He's going to plug us in. And you just need to trust God. God, I don't know what your plan is for me. I don't know what your purpose is for me. But whatever it is, whatever part of the body of Christ you want to be in, I want to do it. And I'm going to fit in. I'm just going to do what I need to do for you. Let me give you the third point. That is that many members are one body. It takes many members to make up one body. The Bible says that we're not just this one member, this one body. Look at verse number 20. But now are they many members, but yet one body. There's many of us that make up this body of Christ. If just the pastor showed up, his family didn't show up, none of the rest of us showed up, he would just be one member of the body of Christ. He wouldn't be able to accomplish all the things that he needs to accomplish. He wouldn't be able to see the people saved, they need to be saved. He wouldn't be able to knock the doors, they need to be knocked. He wouldn't be able to run the bus route adequately and efficiently. He wouldn't be able to do it all because the body of Christ is many members. It takes many people to get in and get involved to make things happen. We can reach this area. You can reach Albuquerque if many members will get involved. We make up one body. Yeah, we make up one whole unit, but it takes all of us doing different jobs and different things and being in different parts of the body of Christ to accomplish those things. We need to jump in and be a part of it. It takes many members to do that. As a body of Christ, as a whole, the Bible tells us that when one of us hurts, that all of us hurt. I don't know if you've ever stubbed your toe, but when I stub my toe, it affects my whole body. My whole body hurts from my toe. Why? Because we are different. Because the physical body has many different members, but we're one body. And as the body of Christ, when one of us hurts or one of us is excited about something, it should excite the rest of us. It should. If somebody's hurting, it should hurt the rest of us. Why? Because we may be separate members, but we're still one body. But it takes many members to make up that body. Let me give you the fourth one, and that is as a member of the body, we have no right to tell the other members that we don't need them. As a member of the body, we have no right to tell another member of the body that we don't need them. Look at verses 21 through 24. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. God says, there's no place for another part of the body to ever say to another part of the body that I don't need you. Because that's not true. It's crazy. It'd be crazy for the eye to say, it said in verse number 21, for the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. And to an extent, the eyeball can function without the hand. But for the whole body, for when you think of the bigger picture, the eye does need the hand. Because the eye can see something, say, ooh, I'd like to get that. I'd like to grab that. Well, if there's no hand, it can't do that. And the head can't say, well, feet, I don't need you. Sure you do. Head, without the feet, you ain't going anywhere. The body of Christ is many members, and I never have the right to ever say to another member of the body of Christ, I don't need you, because I do. I need you, you need me, we need each other. We're here to encourage one another, we're here to challenge one another, we're here to motivate one another, we're here to pray for one another. We need each other. Once again, if it wasn't for church members helping with a church building to keep it up, make it look nice and clean it, and to do the construction work on it, and do the electrical work on it, the plumbing work on it, I wouldn't have a place to come and preach. Really, you're more important than I am. Because I can't function and do what God has called me to do as efficiently as maybe I would be able to if there wasn't other people willing to do the stuff in the background that most people don't notice. If you weren't working a secular job and you weren't giving money in the offering plate so we'd keep the lights on, so we'd have the electricity, so we'd have the sound system, I'd have to be up here yelling and shouting the whole time and be hoarse when I got done. Why? Because your part in the body of Christ is no less important and no more important than anybody who ever stands up here on stage and gives a gospel message or gives a thought from the Bible. You are just as important as I am, and I'm just as important as you are, and we work together as a team to accomplish what God would have us to do. But we never have the right to ever tell someone we don't need. even those that seem feeble, even those that seem insignificant in the eyes of man. Maybe you might say that that I don't need maybe the bus worker. Maybe you don't work on a bus. You say, well, I don't need a bus worker. Yeah, you do. We need a bus worker. We need to bring in those kids. We need to see them saved. Whatever it is, you may think that we don't need that person. We need them. We need every part of them. We need those people to be a part of our life. And here's why we have no right to ever do that. This is why God doesn't give us the right to do it. It's His job to place people where they need to be, and His job to put people in positions and take people out of positions. And that is this. This is so that there should be no fights in the body of Christ. If I had the right to go to a brother Reed and say, Brother Reed, we don't need you really in that position. I don't need you. That would cause schisms. That's not my job to do that. It's God to lead us and direct us. Now, as a pastor of a church, God has given him the authority, the shepherd position to help maybe point people and direct people in certain positions. You might say, Brother Reed, I want you to be a song leader tomorrow. I want you to do this instead. He might have the right to do that because God has given him that authority and that position to work that, but it's still God working through a man to do it. But it's not just my job as the visiting evangelist or even just as just a church member to go up to another church member and say, well, we don't really need you. That's not my job. And the reason that's not is because God realizes that would cause all kinds of fights and schisms and backbiting and arguing. Look at verse number 25 through 27. It says that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and the members in particular. God says, your purpose is not to assign people to places, because that's going to cause schisms and fights and arguments. I mean, think about why people leave churches, because somebody hurt their feelings, and without maybe necessarily saying, hey, we don't need you, maybe not saying in those words, but through our actions and the way we treat them and the way that we talk to them and maybe get mad and blow up on them, we're saying, I don't need you. You serve no purpose for me. And God says, that's not your job. That's not your purpose. If you'll just get involved with what you're supposed to be doing, doing your part, functioning as the body part that you're supposed to be functioning as, you won't have time to do that anyway. I try to keep my feet busy enough that I ain't got time to tell my face what I'm supposed to do. You know, if we stay busy enough doing our part, there's no time to tell somebody else what we need to do or what we don't need to do. And the Bible says in verse number 26, it says, when they suffer, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. I mean, if somebody in our church family is going through a hard time and they're hurting and they're struggling, they're battling with issues and they're battling with maybe a loss of a loved one, or they're battling with maybe a sickness or a cancer, or maybe they're battling with an addiction or a struggle, man, we should, as a body of Christ, should suffer with them. We should feel their pain and say, man, I want to pray for them. I want to love on them. That's a body. It's part of my body of Christ that is suffering. The Bible also goes on and says, in verse number 26, it says, or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. Because if one member of the body of Christ gets honored, if they do something that is worth honor and it gets noticed and it gets recognized, that's a blessing to us. We should be excited about that. Man, if somebody here is out and they're in the workspace and they're in the workforce and they're their boss or their manager or a customer or somebody just says, man, you just really have a great spirit about you. That's honor. They're being given honor. And that's a testimony to New Heights Baptist Church, because they're a part of this body of Christ. And when one part of the body gets honored, gets recognized, gets some respect, gets some glory, if we could say it that way, that's a picture of all of us, because we all work together. And hopefully we've all in some way been a help, been a blessing, been an encouragement for one another. Hopefully we're all praying for one another and lifting each other up. And it's why it's important to get to know your church members, so you can pray for them. Put them in your prayer list and pray for them. It's why it's important to be a part of a Sunday school class, because sometimes it's hard to get so many people. It's hard to pray for all of them maybe in one day, but you can kind of separate your church family up. And maybe you got a smaller group in your Sunday school class, so you can pray for them every day. But that's why we need to be praying for one another, because we want to be a part of their life in some way, somehow, and even if it's limited just to prayer, which prayer is important, it's powerful, it's one of the greatest things we can do for one another, but if it's limited just to prayer and it's not necessarily being physically somehow involved in their life, you're still a part of their life. So when they get honored, it honors all of us. It honors all of us, because we're all a body of Christ. If you take two eyes, that's not very nice necessarily. If you take a nose, it's not much. If you take a mouth, it's okay. If you take two ears, they're kind of gross by themselves, but if you put them all together, you have a face, which can be so beautiful. But by themselves, they are not much to look at, but together, they can make something wonderful. If you stop and think about it, You can think of maybe the best-looking person you can think of in the world. I know she's sitting right here on the second row, but if you think of the best person you can think of in the world, but if you you take them apart and you piece them, to take parts of them, and you just take their eyes. I don't know about you, but just a couple eyes by themselves is kind of gross. Not really interested in that. Take a couple ears by themselves. Ooh, okay. You take a nose. Oh, nose, who cares, you know? But if you take all those and you put them together, and then you get a face, and it's different parts. And by themselves, they're nothing special. But together, they work together to make something that can be beautiful, something that can be wonderful. And it's no different with the body of Christ. You may say, man, I'm just an eyeball. I'm nothing special. Well, maybe by yourself you're not, but when we get together with the body of Christ and we work together as a team, we can make something that's wonderful because God will use us. You know, use the old adage, you know, if you take some vanilla, you take some flour, you take some eggs, maybe a little bit of salt, some milk. Individually, there, you know, vanilla is not very good. It smells great, but it's not very good by itself. But you add all those things together and you bake it for a little while and you get a cake or you get some cookies. And it's delicious. Why? Because you've combined these separate different ingredients to make something wonderful, make something delicious, something that you don't want to eat too much of because you'll get fat, all right? But you make something great. Same thing with the body of Christ. If you take them individually, not real spectacular, but when you put it together as a whole body with many members, it can make something that's wonderful, make something that's beautiful, can make something that can bring God glory. No matter what area you're in, no matter what your part is, no matter how insignificant you may feel like you are, you're not insignificant. You are important. You are vital. God has designed you and He has fitted you in where He sees fit. The area that He says, I'll get the most glory, I'll get the most honor out of your life if you'll let me piece you in as this part of the body of Christ. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. He wants to use you. He wants you to serve Him. Little as much when God is in it. Doesn't matter how little it may seem like it is. If you're doing it for God and you're allowing God to work through your life, in God's eyes, it's much. In God's eyes, it's important. In God's eyes, you're going to get just as much blessings and just as much rewards vacuuming the floor as I would getting up and preaching a message. God looks at both of us, and I can get up here and preach a message that maybe everybody says is great, but if I preach it in the flesh and I do it in my own power, but somebody came in Saturday night and they vacuumed and they did it because they love God and they did it because they want to glorify God, God's going to look at both of us and say, that person that vacuumed the carpet, I'm going to bless them, but that guy behind the pulpit, he's too arrogant for me. And although in man's eyes, I might say, man, that guy behind the pulpit, man, he just did great. Who cares about the guy who vacuumed the carpet? In God's eyes, God's, no. I'll take the guy who vacuumed the carpet. Because it's not about the job. It's about our heart. God, I don't care what body part you make me. I don't care what part of the body of Christ you've designed me to fit in. I want to do it just because I love you. I want to do it because I want to serve you. I want to do it because I want to bring you glory and honor. And God says, that's what I'm looking for. That's what I want. Doesn't matter who we are. I love it in the Bible. Man, so many of our big Bible characters that we would maybe see as maybe some of the biggest Bible characters, the one that maybe had the biggest impact for the cause of Christ. So many of them were nobodies. They were insignificant. Think of David. David's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. I love David. But he was from, his house was an insignificant house. He was part of the smallest family and one of the smaller tribes. They were a nobody. They weren't anything special. And David was so insignificant that when Samuel comes to his father and says, hey, one of your sons is going to be the next king of Israel, I would think as a father, it wouldn't matter to me which son it is. I'm just excited when my sons are going to be the king of Israel. But David was so insignificant even to his father that he left David out in the field and brought the other six brothers in. And Samuel goes through and checks the oldest. Oh, man, he's incredible. It's got to be, this gets his nose on him. Goes to the next one. Well, he's maybe not quite as, you know, big and impressive, but he's still pretty awesome. He's got to be God. No, that's not him. Go through all of them. Gets the sixth one and says, God, it's the last one. Surely it's him. And God says, no, it's not him. Samuel says to Jesse, do you not have another son? He says, well, there's the youngest one. He's out taking care of the sheep. And when I read that passage, I read it just like that. The dad's like, well, yeah, there's David. He's out there taking care of the sheep. He's the youngest guy. He's not very old. He's not special. But God looked at him, and before we ever heard David's name, God already said, I've got a man. It's after my own heart that I've chosen to be the next king of Israel. Before you and I ever meet David, before you and I have ever heard of him, heard the name of him, God already knew who he was. He was a nobody. But God said, there's a man after my own heart. It doesn't matter the job. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background. God says, I want you to be after my heart. You desire to serve me. If you have a heart to glorify me, it doesn't matter what position, what role you play in the body of Christ. You are important to me, and I will use you. Are we willing to let him use us? Are we going to say, God, it's okay. I don't care what part of the body of Christ you want me to be. I just want to be used. I just want to glorify you. And if you'll do that, God will use you in ways that you never imagined. You might start off as the cleaner of the church, and you never know where God might take you from there. You might be the church cleaner for the rest of your life. God may just continue to use that, be a faithful church cleaner. Or God may take you from there and he may put you in another position that in human eyes maybe would have more glory and more honor. And then he may take you from that position, put you in another position. I was just a 16, 17-year-old teenage boy when I started cleaning the church. And God led and used me, and I got to be a bus captain, and I got to go to Bible college, and I got to be a youth director for a while, and now here I am trying to go to evangelism. Why? Because I just had a heart. God, wherever you want to use me, I just want to be used. I just want you to use me. I don't care what part of the body of Christ I am, just as long as you'll use me. And when you'll have that heart, God can use you in incredible ways.